Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. And we begin today talking about, of all things, reality television. No, don't worry. The Brian Lehrer Show hasn't gone Hollywood. In fact, we're going Brooklyn. Last night was the premiere of a new CBS show, Brooklyn DA. Did you see it? The six-part show that follows the inner workings of, what else, the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office. The show has received mixed reviews. I thought, watched most of it. But more interestingly, legal challenges as well. This is an election year, and opponents of Brooklyn DA Charles Hines claim the show constitutes unfair promotion for his re-election bid. We should note that Hines himself does not appear in the series, but it is his office that is being chronicled, in my opinion, in cheesy, over-praising video. Who better to talk about the intersection of the law and television than friend of show and sometimes substitute host Jamie Floyd, who has worked for years as a legal analyst for various TV networks. Hey, Jamie, thanks for coming on for this.
Oh, great fun.
So I did call it a reality show in my opening copy, but CBS bills it as a six-part documentary series. You watched it last night, too, I gather. Is that an important distinction, reality show or documentary series?
It's a critical distinction. It's critical for Abe George, who is complaining that this is a denial of his right to equal time on a network.
He's running against Joe Hines for Brooklyn DA.
Yes, and he is entitled to equal time if the network gives Charlie Hines political attention. But as you point out, Hines is not in the show, and a judge is considering whether this is a essentially political infomercial or a news presentation, a documentary series, in other words. And so it becomes a critical distinction for the judge to determine, is this reality TV entertainment that is promoting the current district attorney, or is it essentially a news series?
So, listeners, if you caught Brooklyn DA on CBS last night, how would you characterize it? We're not taking a position. We're saying they call it a reality show. The other guys call it a documentary series. That's what CBS, the producers, bill it as. What did it look like to you? If you think about it in these terms, folks, as a de facto advertisement, would you see it that way, or just promotion, you know, gauzy lens view of Charles Hines's office, or do you think it was really a documentary? And putting that aside, did you think it was any good? Call us up at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. By the way, Jamie, somebody has already asked me, why did you refer to him once as Charles Hines and once as Joe Hines? And Charles is, as you know, Charles is his actual first name,
right?
But he's generally known as Joe Hines.
He prefers Joe.
Because, of course, anybody with the name Charles, well, of course, you shorten that to Joe.
Anything goes in Brooklyn.
So it's Charles J. Hines, so I guess it's his middle name. The first episode, for people who didn't see it, focuses on three main employees of the DA's office and three of their cases. One is a fine art theft ring. Another has to do with sex trafficking. And the third is the ongoing prosecution of a man accused of killing NYPD officer Peter Fogosky in 2011. Remember, this is not made up. These are real-life stories, and the show follows the real-life people. So here's a clip from the show of Ken Taub of the Homicide Unit, who is investigating the murder of Officer Fogosky.
I will say this. It is the one job in law where you get paid to do the right thing all the time.
Yeah. Hold on one second. Ken Taub speaking.
My responsibilities are to ensure that every case we take in is appropriately handled.
I'm going to do my best to do that. I will let you know how I make out.
In addition to making the decisions about whether to try a case, whether to arrest a case, whether to plead it out or not, the contact with the family is probably what I do more than anything else.
Ken Taub, Chief of the Homicide Bureau in the Brooklyn DA's office.
In the case of Pete Fogosky, I was on call, I want to say sometime around 4 in the morning or so, maybe a little later than that, indicating that there had been this police officer shot. Unfortunately, I'm used to it. It's not the first time I've gotten such a call, and I always hope it's going to be the last time.
A clip from the CBS series Brooklyn DA. And, Jamie, I would say that was pretty representative in terms of these various ADAs, assistant district attorney, talking about the nature of their work, the dilemmas in their work, very much from their point of view, and very, very sympathetic to the ADAs.
And pretty righteous.
Yes.
and we don't know where the series will go. I tried to do a little intelligence gathering from friends at CBS who know the executive producer and know some of the people working on the show. One of the three storylines will continue, and at least one. One will not, and the third I could not determine what will happen. But I don't want to give anything away, of course. The question I could not get answered is whether, as we heard this man say, you get paid to do the right thing, Ken Taub says, in Homicide. But will the show address some of the allegedly wrong things that have been alleged to go on in the DA's office? The DA's office is being investigated for wrongful convictions, participation in wrongful convictions that have been overturned here and there and everywhere. And, you know, will some of that come up? First of all, it would make for better television. You know, the prosecution of cases in Brooklyn and everywhere is a nuanced thing, Brian. It is not a black and white issue, as Taub suggests. You're not always paid to do the easy and right thing. There are all kinds of pressures that come to bear. The show would probably be better if they talk about some of these other cases. And it is questionable. Hines doesn't appear. You know, when you watch Law and Order, you see the head DA, played by different people over the many years the show's been on the air, but mm-hmm. you do sometimes see the head DA. So the question remains, what will we see in the remaining five parts of the series? Will it be more than three very idealistic, I think well-meaning, righteous young DAs, one middle-aged, two young DAs, that will be more representative of what it really means on a day-to-day basis to practice prosecuting cases in Brooklyn or anywhere in the country?
So the question here legally is, does this represent a news documentary series, and so no equal time opportunity needs to be afforded to any of Joe Hines' yeah. challengers? Or is it a show, in which case it's not a news program, so equal time would come to bear? If they did show more controversial prosecutorial behavior, if they did show prosecutorial overreach, prosecutorial misconduct, these 50 murder cases that have been yeah. reopened because of possible wrongful convictions and inappropriate behavior by a detective, would it matter to the equal time question?
No, that would just satisfy the defense attorneys out there. it wouldn't do anything. I mean, look, it would certainly help Abe George in his bid for challenging Joe Hines, Charles J. Hines. But it doesn't satisfy equal time. Equal time means he gets equal time. Right. The only thing that would satisfy him in that request would be if he got a significant role on the show or a show of his own. Equal time means you get a minute for every minute your opponent right. has in prime time.
But then what would make it a news program? I mean, our complaint about it is that yeah. it's like a hagiography. If yeah. it wasn't that, if it was, here are the controversial activities of the Brooklyn DA's office, you know, warts and all, then maybe it is a news program.
Well, frankly, I think it is a news program. I have issues with it as a news program, and I also have my critique of it as a viewer. Did I find it entertaining or not? But in terms of Abe George's complaint about equal time, I think that ultimately the right thing for the judge to decide is that this is a news program.
That's your legal opinion.
Yeah,
as a lawyer.
As a lawyer, strictly speaking, as a lawyer, listen, we lawyers have to compartmentalize our views on things as you know, consumers of entertainment, consumers of news are independent of our assessment as lawyers. The woman producing this is Susan Zirinsky. She's been a senior executive producer of news at CBS since 1996, at least, of 48 Hours, which is a news program.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard news. It's magazine programming, but it's news.
A lot of it looks like this.
It looks very much like this. And although this is shot beautifully and it looks much like a reality show, the thing that really says to me, Brian, that this is news is that it's not very good. It's not very good. They are stuck with three not terribly compelling characters. They're stuck with three storylines they cannot control. Reality TV controls the storylines. They write the scripts. They manipulate the outcomes, the relationships. I know because I know many, many people who work in reality TV. Mm-hmm. It is almost entirely made up.
It's a blend of fiction and nonfiction. This is all nonfiction, actually shooting these stories, even though they may select whichever stories they think are going to be the most dramatic for the general audience out of the thousands and thousands that the DA's office deals with, it's still nonfiction.
And they, in the end, they had to, you know, the result they get in one of the three storylines in the premiere is the result they get. They're in the court of law. They cannot change the outcome. They cannot change the personalities of the clients or even the lawyers they choose to shoot. But I could feel it as I've worked on these kinds of stories myself, Brian. I felt the pain of these producers working with these lawyers on these stories. And how are we going to make this entertaining and compelling? Because it's a news story, and we do have an obligation to the truth, ultimately.
But how do we know that a producer isn't stepping in and making some suggestions, the way it happens on most reality shows, saying, wait, could you have that conversation again? Or, ADA, can you ask that question a little bit differently? You know what I mean? We don't know, do we, that those things aren't taking place?
We don't. But I have to tell you, Brian, in my 10 years at ABC News, and ABC pioneered this genre of the 24/7 in the workplace with Hopkins 24/7, 24/7 in the workplace reality-based news programming. And I agree, it gets dangerously close to the line of reality TV. I'm not endorsing it. But it also gives viewers an understanding of how the justice system works or how a hospital setting goes day to day. So there may be some benefit to it. But I have never, ever seen producers engage in what I know reality producers engage in. Crafting relationships, re-asking questions, creating sets, entire sets, to create an environment that doesn't really exist. They work within the boundaries of truth. They may do things in the edit room. They may choose a character, as you suggested earlier, to feature rather than another character. But the character is who the character is.
All right, viewers.
I don't mean to defend this show. I have some problem with the number
but I understand,
of pro-prosecution
I understand.
Shows.
You're just giving us your opinion that it is a news program and the equal time claims should not apply in your opinion. Well, listeners, what did you think about the show? Some quick reviews of Brooklyn DA if you watched it last night on CBS. And this question, if you even care about this question, as to whether opponents of Brooklyn DA Charles Hines, who's running for re-election this year, have a fair claim that this is not a news program and that they should be given equal time to respond. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Wayne in Brooklyn Heights. Hi, Wayne, you watched last night, right?
Yeah, I did. Good morning. Miss Floyd is telling it like it is. Good for her. Listen, Mr. Vecchione is under withering criticism from a federal judge, Frederick Block, for his actions in the DA office. And yet, last night, he's presented as this kind of loving mentor of young ADAs, et cetera. The former head of the sexual assault unit there made stuff up, sloppy work, had to quit in disgrace for false allegations of sexual assault. Is this show going to show those? I don't think so. Jamie Floyd is telling the truth.
Right. All right, Wayne, thank you very much. Marie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I was dismayed because the line between fiction and news seemed to have been blurred. I'm very much dismayed when shows that are supposed to be documentaries have recreations, and I tell myself when I'm watching a Ken Burns program about the Civil War that there were no cameras recording all of that, and that therefore the close-ups of the wagon wheels are inserted to give an appearance of action. They're using fictional techniques, but they're trying to make us think they're real. That I can identify readily. Last night, I had a lot of trouble deciding whether I was watching something that was real, because it uses so many fictional techniques, or whether I was watching a flat-out fiction. And it wasn't until I saw the name of Susan Zirinsky in the credits at the end, and I know she's a news person, that I decided it was real. But the way it was shot, the use of narration, it was all as slick as fiction, and I think it's a step down. We're already got too much show business in the news, and I think this blurring of fact and fiction has gets even subtler and worse with this program, and I think Hines opponents have a case.
But if they didn't change any facts or stage any events and just used these, state-of-the-art dramatic storytelling techniques on television to tell this real-life story, then would they really have a case, Marie?
I think so, because I have a master's in television, and I've been a media critic for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm this uneasy and confused, I think it's really questionable how people in general react.
Marie, thank you so much. And let's get another caller on that side. Desiree in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC, and you're an attorney too, Desiree, is that right?
Yes, I am.
What do you think?
I was bothered by the perception of the ADAs as these crusaders of justice, selfless crusaders of justice, and like the defense attorneys, and they're two sides to a justice scale. They're not always on the right side, as with all these wrongful convictions and things like that that have been going on with the DA's office show. They're not always on the right side, but I don't think there's any attempt to show any balance like that, to have justice, that it requires both sides, and they all parts of the justice system play into that. And I don't think there was any attempt to show that. And I don't know why I should have expected that from a show about the Brooklyn DA's office, but, I was disappointed to see that.
Right, Desiree, thank you. Actually, Law and Order, Jamie, probably does a better job of showing warts and all in a fictional series, at least than they did last night in the premiere, right? They show people going over the top in their narratives, as well as presenting very sympathetic portrayals of district attorneys.
Well, I actually am one of the few Americans who is not a fan of Dick Wolf and Law and Order. I mean, I think it's one of the worst things that's happened to the criminal justice system since the Star Chamber. I think Dick Wolf and Law and Order, and now Brooklyn DA piling on, just has removed the presumption of innocence and superimposed a presumption of guilt in our criminal justice system. Now, for years, we had Perry Mason, and we had the Public Defender, and we had shows that were very sympathetic to criminal defendants
mm-hmm.
and their defense attorneys. And now we've had, for the last 15 or 20 years, shows that swung the pendulum in the other direction. And I'm hoping now, with all of the wrongful convictions and the Innocence Project, we'll start to see an influence on potential jurors that inures in the other direction. So I agree very much with the last caller, and I agree with what Marie said about the blurring between documentary and certainly news presentation and reality television and entertainment.
Right.
And that's why I think public radio, and we've said this so many times, Brian, you and I just talking privately, doesn't have the pressure of the commercial that pushes news producers, and I know because I lived with this pressure myself for 10 years, to try and compete with entertainment media to keep viewers watching. That's what's happening. That's why the show looked so beautiful and it was so slick, because they have to get viewers to watch. And it does confuse the viewers. Marie is right.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean that the equal time
mm-hmm.
claim is valid.
It. Well, I was going back and forth during that hour between Channel 2 and Channel 9, and it happened to be the show on Channel 9, the Mets-Yankees game, that had the surprise ending. So
right. Right.
we will leave it there. Who decides, by the way, finally? Is it just a judge? A judge is going to watch the show like you did and either come out with your opinion or Marie's opinion that it either does or doesn't demand an equal time response?
Well, the judge, unlike any of us, should have all six installments of the show. as well as a lot of information about
right.
who worked on the show,
right.
members of the news division
right.
or members of the entertainment division, and we'll decide based
right.
on a lot more information than we have.
Jamie Floyd, and I know you'll be filling in for me tomorrow, and I'll be off to take care of some personal business. So
yes,
enjoy,
I'll do my best.
Enjoy the show. I know we're in good hands. So have fun tomorrow.
Thank you, Brian.
And Jamie Floyd, I'll be back on Friday, by the way. And coming up next, the environmentalist Allison Rockefeller with Linda Johnson Robb, daughter of President Lyndon Johnson, on politics and the environment then and now. Johnson Robb is receiving a Rachel Carson Award today. Stay with us.